Radio Prague News.
Cardinal Duka has warned against the dangers of Islam. The South Moravian branch of the Social Democrats has upheld Governor Hašek's position at the head of the party's election ticket for the autumn regional elections. And the drivers of two rival bus companies have ended up in court after getting into a fist fight over passengers. Cardinal Dominic Duka has warned against underestimating the danger of Islam and an open-door policy for refugees from the Islamic world. The internet news site Novinky.cz says in this connection that the question of whether Islam presents a danger to Europe and European values continues to divide the Czech Catholic community. In the wake of the murder of Catholic priest Jacques Hamel, Cardinal Duka wrote an article in which he says the act should serve as a memento to those who underestimate the danger of Islam and attribute terrorist attacks to frustrated or mentally deranged individuals. The Catholic Weekly failed to print the article, which then appeared on the Cardinal's blog, and Catholic priest Tomáš Halík openly criticized Cardinal Duka for failing to make a distinction between Islam and jihadist terrorists. The South Moravian branch of the Social Democrats has upheld Governor Michal Hašek's position at the head of the party's election ticket for the autumn regional elections. The governor's position has been undermined in recent days by revelations that his press releases were written by a lobbyist working under a fictitious name. Hašek's office is also said to have paid the woman 400,000 crowns a year to write laudatory articles about him for the news sites Parlamentnylisty.cz and Krajskelisty.cz. The governor, who went before the party's regional committee to explain the matter on Tuesday, said his office had never signed a contract with the said lobbyist. She merely worked for the PR agency with whom his office had a contract. The woman in question was found guilty of attempting to bribe journalists earlier this year. There have been calls for the governor to resign in the wake of the scandal. The Supreme Court has upheld 9 of the 11 sentences served to members of the notorious Stoffel Gang, which was found guilty of bribery, extortion and abuse of office. The accused received sentences of 3 to 9 years and hefty fines. The gang is named after a former head of the Regional Economic Crime Squad, who, together with several former colleagues, threatened entrepreneurs in Moravia. They elicited large sums of money for withdrawing trumped-up charges against them and in some cases even threatened to murder or abduct family members if the money was not delivered. 10 of the convicted appealed the verdict. Only the case of Petr Křipský, who received 4.5 years in jail, will have to be reviewed by the regional court in Brno. The other verdicts are now binding. Brigadier General Jaromír Šebesta took over command of the Czech Air Force on Tuesday. He replaces General Libor Štefaník, who held the post for 3 years. The change of guard took place at a special ceremony at Kobeli Military Airport in Prague. The Air Force has 5,400 pilots who fly Gripen planes, helicopters and CASA transport planes. They serve the country's defense needs, take part in foreign missions and help out in times of crisis such as floods. Two bus drivers of rival bus firms ended up in court after getting into a fist fight in front of shocked passengers, the news site Novinky.cz reported. The drivers each tried to reach the bus stop in the town of Janovice first in an attempt to take more passengers on board, and the incident ended in a fist fight in which one of the drivers beat up the other so badly he had to be taken to hospital with broken ribs and head injuries. The aggressor was given 220 hours of community work as punishment. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Wednesday should be overcast with rain and day temperatures reaching just 18 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, the unemployment trend bucks in July. Roma children tune up to a chance of a lifetime. And later in focus, we look at how the homeless are being mapped in Prague and Pilsen. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Unemployment in the Czech Republic rose in July after a steady fall since February of this year. Currently, unemployment stands at 5.4%, up from 5.2% in June. The rise, at least in part, is due to new graduates entering the labour market who have yet to secure work. In all, more than 392,000 people are looking for jobs. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Unemployment in the Czech Republic has gone up, in part due to the influx of graduates now seeking work, but also the fact that firms generally hire fewer new employees during the summer lull. Significantly coinciding with the new unemployment figures just released, some 136,000 jobs, though, are now on offer. That's the highest total in 8 years. Many firms, from courier services to online sales companies, are hiring. Some, Czech TV reported on Monday, have been hiring as many as 70 new employees a month. Lucie Lžičarová, who works for a courier firm, told the broadcaster Czech TV she was happy to have found a job which suited her.
I like the fact that I don't spend the day in an office, that I'm on my own and that I'm not working freelance.
Not all those currently out of work feel the same way, leaving companies with staff shortages little choice but to cast their net more broadly, turning to foreign workers to fill the gap. Though these include hiring nationals from Ukraine, a move supported by the government. Josef Serdula, the head of the union's umbrella organization CEMCO, suggested, however, that in his view, one reason why more skilled jobs were not being taken by unemployed Czechs was because firms were offering miserable wages.
There are large barriers to attracting new workers. One of them is the level of wages. I was looking at the gross wage offered, for example, of a machinist, and the total is between 15 and 18,000 crowns a month. That is a wage which barely is above the poverty line. That is not okay. So we see that as a major barrier to some people taking jobs.
In all, more than 392,000 people are seeking work, but some perhaps harder than others. The government would like that to change, outlining proposals which would motivate those out of work to redouble their efforts to find it, and also to make it harder for them to remain on benefits. The government wants to ban certain types of contracts, to increase funding for commuting to work, and to toughen controls on those getting welfare. Labour and Social Affairs Minister Michala Marksová spelled out steps under consideration.
What we are planning is to make things considerably tougher for the long-term unemployed and to make it more difficult for them to make undeclared money on the side.
Minister Marksová ending that report by Jan Wellinger. Now, some 60 Roma children from socially excluded localities in the Czech Republic and Slovakia, along with members of the Czech Philharmonic, are taking part in the Romana Drom music and dance workshop in North Bohemia. The aim of the summer school, organised annually by musician and choir mistress Ida Kalarova, is to support children and youth at risk of social exclusion. The two-week school will culminate with a series of performances starting on Tuesday night in Novi Bor. Petr Kadlec of the Czech Philharmonic talked to Rut Frankova about the project.
I think simple answer is that we want to support Roma children and youth in social excluded localities, and we are trying to do it with the help of music. As you know, in the social excluded localities in the Czech and Slovak Republic, there is no one or almost no one who takes care of talented Roma children and youth. And that is something we are trying to change in this project. So we are trying to support talented singers and dancers and to work with them. And we believe that it might be a kind of life-changing experience for them, because they experience themselves in positive situations, and we hope they can gain more self-confidence and self-assuredness. So it's, in short, the main purpose of the project and the reason why we are, as the Czech Philharmonic, in.
How do you find this cooperation? Would you say that it also benefits musicians of the Czech Philharmonic?
The cooperation is, in my opinion, absolutely perfect, because the artistic team of Initiative Miret, that is led by Mrs. Ida Kelarová, world-known singer and choirmaster, is working at a fantastic level. So they really know how to work with the children, how to motivate them. They, of course, know that there must be a kind of strong discipline because it's also important for the future life of the children and what it can give to our musicians. I think when we started this project, many of them had feeling that, of course, we go to the socially excluded localities, we will help them, and so on and so on. And after 2 or 3 days in the Roma villages in Slovakia, they came and were saying, well, we are learning from them. We are learning things like spontaneity and a kind of attitude that is very open and very sincere.
What are you rehearsing this year? What will be on the program of your concerts?
We have 20 pieces, mainly composed by Mr. Desiderius Dušta, who is a very famous Roma composer. For this year, he composed 8 new pieces, and we have also some from the last year. So in total, it's something like 20 pieces. Some of them are also traditional chardashes, and we also have 2 pure instrumental pieces for our musicians. So they play Brahms' Hungarian Dance, number 5, very famous one, and also arrangement of 1 solo piece by Georges Boulanger.
Petr Kadlec of the Czech Philharmonic talking there to Ruth Frankova. And the first of those series of 3 concerts will take place on Tuesday night, followed by performances in Rumburg on Wednesday and Děčín on Thursday. Changing matters there a bit, and sociologists from the Czech Academy of Sciences are carrying out a unique survey of the homeless communities in Prague and Pilsen. The Hobimia project is the first cooperative research on homelessness in the Czech Republic and focuses on previously neglected topics such as specific timing of the activities of the homeless. It also uses some less traditional research methods such as GPS tracking and invites the homeless to take active part in the collecting of data. Ruth Frankova reports in this week's feature in Focus.
Sociologists from the Czech Academy of Sciences are carrying out a unique survey of the homeless communities in Prague and Pilsen. The Hobohemia project is the first comparative research on homelessness in the Czech Republic and focuses on previously neglected topics such as specific timing of the activities of the homeless. It also uses some less traditional research methods such as GPS tracking and invites the homeless to take active part in collecting the data. I spoke to Petr Vašád, Hobohemia's main investigator, and I first asked him about the name for the project.
The title is actually from past. It was a specific area in American cities, and it was places where so-called hobos were concentrated during winters, while during summers they were traveling across the country and building railway network, basically.
So what are the main aims of your research? When did it actually start? As far as I know, it is quite a long-term project.
Yeah, it is. It started in January 2015 and will end 2017. And generally speaking, its goal is to describe dynamics of homelessness in 2 Czech cities. So we've got 4 main goals. And first one is identify the characteristics of homeless persons, their life trajectories, causes, and so on. Second one, describe spatial and temporal mobility in urban space in those 2 cities. Third one, describe locations in public space they inhabit in their everyday life in urban space. And last one is describe their specific time perception and its origin, which is quite interesting topic for me.
What distinguishes your research from similar surveys?
I think our project is unique in many ways. At first, it's a comparative research. As I said, we are studying 2 cities, and usually similar projects are targeting only 1 city. So we are trying to identify what those cities have in common and what are specific local base conditions. And also, as you said, we are using several quite innovative methods like GPS tracking or photo voice or respondent German sampling method.
What do the last two things that you mentioned, photo voice, and respondent-driven sampling, can you be more specific? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Photo voice, it's an interesting method which try to engage homeless persons into the research. And basically, we are giving them disposable cameras and some basic prescription how to make pictures and so on. And homeless persons are taking pictures of their one ordinary day. And after that, we are conducting interviews, what's on those pictures and what's going on there. And basically, they've got a chance to see their lives from the external perspective. It's quite useful if you want to study relations between homelessness and a public space, I think. And regarding the respondent-driven sampling, basically, it's very similar to classic method called snowball. We started basically with six persons and we made interviews with them. And after the interview, they were given two coupons and they were supposed to give those coupons to their friends on the streets. And their friends, afterwards, they will come to our office and make another interview and there will be, you know, same procedure. We want to have approximately 300 interviews.
So basically the homeless themselves participate in the survey and they also help you to contact other people.
Yeah, basically it means that respondents recruit themselves because they are rewarded some amount of money after the interviews, but they are rewarded also when some of their friends will come and make an interview with us.
Was it difficult to approach the homeless community? How willing were they to cooperate?
I think it was quite easy because we are cooperating with several organizations here in Prague and some organizations in person, and they help us to contact at the first level some respondents. But also I did a long-term field research in the past in person, so I had many contacts from this time and many friends, and they helped me to start it again.
So what are the outcomes of the project so far, and is there anything that you found really surprising?
One of our main results is that the size and the number of citizens in a city is quite crucial. It influences, for example, social organization of homeless community. It influences their strategies and so on. So it is very important. So it is something we will focus on. And we were surprised by many situations. For example, yesterday came one man make interview and we found out that the man is not part of our target group because he lives in a flat. But he said that he wanted to help homeless persons. So it was the reason for him to come, because that homeless person would be given money. So for me, it's kind of promise, sign of goodwill, that everything's not so bad as sometimes seems.
You also said that it's not common to do a comparative survey. So what would you say are the biggest differences between the homeless communities in Prague and in Pilsen?
I would say that Pilsen has several bigger communities there and Prague is more separated. There are so many individuals and it's also more competitive. Related to this, for example, we could also identify different, I would say, space mobilities. In Pilsen, everything is more place-concentric, while in Prague, it's more between places. Those people are following specific trajectory, and they're moving from one place to another. In Pilsen, it's more around one place or around two places.
And would you say that life for the homeless is easier in a way in smaller cities?
It depends. Sometimes might be easier, but sometimes not, because you are always recognized. Policemen know your face. Prague is more anonymous. So it depends on a specific individual. Generally, I would say that in Prague, it is more tough for homeless persons.
You already spoke about your hope that the situation is perhaps not as bad as it seems.
Hmm.
So would you say that people's perception of the homeless has changed over the years?
Yeah, definitely.
And is it a change to the better?
Not really, actually. in the 90s, dominant perception of homeless persons were like charity-oriented, but it's changed after 2000. And now everything's more in terms of repression, in terms of they are sort of clients of repression. And I would say that for them it's more difficult to be on the street.
And how serious would you say is the situation of the homeless or the issue of homelessness in the Czech Republic at the moment?
I think it is quite serious because numbers are increasing and the Social Housing Act is still missing. So I think it's very important to focus on prevention, especially in a case of runaway kids or children living in institutions. So we have to focus on this.
And in your project, were you only focusing on the homeless or on people who might potentially become homeless in the future?
We want to focus also on so-called hidden or potential homelessness. I think in case of hidden homelessness, we were quite successful. We got some respondents from a gay prostitution community on the street. But the potential homelessness, it's more difficult question. Our survey is targeting also potential homeless, but I think results will be quite limited because at this time we've got around, I don't know, 20 of them, and it's a very low number.
Also, you mentioned the problem with social housing. Would you say that this is one of the main problems in tackling the issue of homelessness?
It's definitely important one, but there are other we have to target, for example, jobs, because it's very difficult for homeless persons to work. For example, there is a segment of older people and they've got their education from communist era, and now they have to target like factories, jobs, and they are paid very badly. So when speaking of Social Housing Act, we have to also think of other issues, for example, like jobs and social services and so on.
Finally, what do you hope to achieve with your project and what will be some of the outcomes?
It is an academic project, so we hope we will publish several articles and hopefully a book as well. But I would like to put some recommendation based on our results, and I think it might be helpful in some agendas, and I think we will be able to do that. But we are in the middle of project, and we will see what brings us those two surveys.
Are some of the results actually accessible for the public anywhere?
You can find some examples on our website, hobohemia.eu, and we've got a plan to organize some exhibition as well.
Ruth Frankova there speaking to Petr Vashat, Hobemia's main investigator. If you've any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be extremely pleased to hear from you. But from me, Chris Johnston, goodbye, and thanks for joining us.